You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
What up, Angel fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your host of Locked On Angels today, the resident Socia Cynic. I'm here to welcome you to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed yesterday's episode. Had that little talk with Patrick, so that was pretty fun. But another off day for the Angels, and I feel like they've had a lot of those lately. I don't know. Kind of weird, but the news definitely did not stop rolling out of Anaheim, though. The biggest news of the day, I think, the Albert Pujols knee surgery that he had that will put him out 6 to 8 weeks, effectively pretty much ending his season, ultimately. I think the surgery was called an arthroscopic debridement surgery. For all you non-doctors out there, what it basically means is the doctor cut open his knee and all the excess stuff that was around that area, they just kind of took that out. They cleaned it up a little bit. Apparently, it went successfully, and we look forward to his return in 2019. Haha, just kidding. if you're a big Pujols guy or girl, which I don't know if there's many of those in Anaheim. I'm sorry that you don't get to watch him limp around the field. But what does this mean for the Angels? I think it's a pretty good thing. Because we ultimately get to get a full load of Shohei Ohtani now. Swinging the baseball bat. The last month of the season, it's going to pretty much turn into a Shohei show. It's showtime, essentially. He's going to be pitching. He's going to be hitting. Wow. Let's see. I mean, they want him to pitch. He's going to swing it regularly. I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about it. One thing about Shohei, too, I loved that on Monday after he threw his simulated game, he was like, yo, guys, I'm ready to play. I'm not tired. Put me in, coach. You know, like, I like that fire. I like that spirit. So let's keep that coming. But I think with Pujols being out, it's also nice because we get an actual look at what our team could be in the future, what the future looks like. I think it means we will see Matt Tace a lot when he gets called up. My bet, if I was a betting man, which I am, I would bet that Jose Fernandez comes up before Matt Tace, though, simply because that's what the Angels have been doing all season, and you know, the comfortability there. I think they like to do that. They like to stay comfortable. But the Tace bomb is dropping any moment now in Anaheim. I think it's going to be within the next 2 weeks. I can feel it. That's what I'm thinking. But it's kind of cool that this happened. Because just last week we were talking on our Friday mailbag about when the end of the Albert Pujols era is. I don't know. This is kind of foreshadowing for what it might look like after he's gone. And I also had a thought when this surgery got announced. I don't know how closely you guys like follow the Dodgers or anything like that, but Andre Ethier, you guys probably remember him, and he retired this last season. And for the last two seasons, he was actually on the Dodgers roster, but for about 80% of both seasons, he was on the disabled list with various injuries and whatnot. And all those injuries, they weren't necessarily the broken legs or, you know, the UCL injuries, the ones that you can kind of, like, they're noticeable, right? Like, he had a lot of, like, oblique injury, strained shoulder, like, you know, very minor, but, like, oh, I can't play. Essentially, injuries that you could still walk and talk and hang out with the team, and you're not really a noticeable different person, right? I'm under the assumption that in that story, that he cut a deal with the Dodgers and said, hey, I'll stay in the DL all year long. I want to get maybe 30 to 40 at-bats. And if we make the playoffs, I want to be on that roster. And I still want to hang around the team and get paid. Is there any chance we can do that with Albert Pujols? Sit him down, say, hey, here's the deal. You get 50 to 75 at-bats a year for the next 3 years. But we're gonna need you to play up the knee injuries. We're gonna need you to bring back the plantar fasciitis stuff. Just, you know, hang out on the DL for about 120 to 140 games per year. Just so we can keep the roster spot open. Right? Like, I don't think it's that big of a deal if we tell him that. I think he might be in. It's the best of both worlds, right? I think it might be potentially the best case scenario too, because he gets his money. The Angels get the roster spot they want, and I think it makes the team better. I think it's worth thinking about. I think it's hard to go to a guy that's as competitive as Albert is, or like quote unquote competitive, and say, hey bud, I think you're injured. You know, they did it with Shohei though. They were like, hey, your elbow's messed up, and he was like, okay. Anyway, I don't know. I think it's a very interesting thought. Let's put it that way. The other big news out of Anaheim might have gone over your head a little bit more if you weren't on the Twitterverse late at night. But the Inland Empire 66ers had a starting pitcher start last night in a rehab start. And you might have heard of him. His name, Matt Shoemaker. Whoa. Haven't heard that name in a while, probably, have you? He threw 59 pitches, gave up no hits, one unearned run. It was on an error by the shortstop, I believe. 6 strikeouts, 2 walks in 4 innings of work. So, nice to see a pitcher potentially getting healthy for a change. That's nice. Rather than one going on the DL. No clear time frame for his return is what he said as of right now. But I'd imagine it'd be maybe in the next 2 weeks or so. You know, going into mid-September. Maybe give him another rehab start or two. Get him ready for the end of September. You know, like, who knows? Crazy to also think that ending the season, we could have a skeleton of what our starting rotation probably should have been all season long. You got Haney, Berea, Otani, Shoemaker. Might get Skaggs back. Maybe Griffin Canning. What? Wow. We might end the season 12 games out of a wild card spot. Wow. Competitive. We might not end up as the seller team in the AL West. Wow. I'm sure what's going to happen is the rotation will pitch just well enough to get us really excited for next year, just so that they can all get hurt next year. That's the cycle, right? That's the circle of life. But coming up next, we have a gear grinder, and I'm going to talk you into the Shohei Ohtani Rookie of the Year case. That's what I'm going to do this week on my gear grinder. Special second gear grinder of the week also. But first, if you would like to sponsor the show, where do you go? You know it. LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Hit me up. Let's talk. Gear Grinder, though. Coming up next.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Time for this gear grinder. So, as many of you who follow this team might know, kind of a two-horse race for the AL Rookie of the Year, right? Obviously, the one that we're all probably pulling for, Shohei Ohtani. But also this guy, Miguel Andujar, plays third base for the New York Yankees. You know, Miguel Andujar has a big case to be made. So let's throw out the Andujar numbers that make the Andujar case, just to get him out of the way. He's played more games, which in turn gives him more at-bats. He has a higher batting average. He has more home runs and more RBIs. Both the home runs and the RBIs, I think, is probably because he has more at-bats. I mean, duh, right? He's hitting 300, 331 on base percentage, 530 slugging percentage, 22 home runs, 74 RBIs, 127 OPS plus. He also plays for the Yankees, so you'll probably hear the, oh, he plays some more meaningful games because the team's better and he's, you know, performing better for a better team. Okay, cool. Yeah, shocker. Yankees are better than the Angels. Whatever. Who cares? Tired of hearing that. Here are the numbers for Shohei Ohtani at the plate. These are the numbers swinging it. He's hitting 275, 352 on base percentage, 545 slugging percentage, 15 home runs, 43 RBIs, 143 OPS plus. Also, this isn't going to make his case, but it's a fun stat while I was looking at it. Did you know he's only grounded into a double play once this year? How crazy is that? And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, duh, like, he's fast. Yeah, but, like, he usually hits the ball pretty hard, and generally they turn it pretty quick in Major League Baseball. So it's just crazy. He's only grounded into one double play all season long. Anyway, Shohei, with his numbers, has a better on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS plus, and we have not even gotten to the pitching stats, let's put it that way. Also, if you're a WAR nerd, 1.7 WAR for both of them at the plate. Shohei, 1.2 WAR on the mound. So, you find yourself in your classic quality versus quantity problem, right? You know, Andujar performing more games, more at-bats, and he's produced, you know, well over the longer amount of time. Or do you appreciate Shohei, who has taken advantage of each and every at-bat and opportunity he's had all season long? I think that's what you come into. Shohei also, he's got better nerd stats, whereas Andujar has better, like, old school stats, like the home runs, the RBIs, the batting average. Shohei's up here with a better OPS plus and on base percentage, slugging percentage, you know, stuff like that. So I'm not even going to make the case that Shohei's a better hitter, because I think, if you look at it, I think they're pretty, pretty similar in that regard. So I don't even want to argue that. I think where the argument can be made that Shohei is the rookie of the year is on the defensive side, okay? Because I think we can agree it's a tight race offensively, okay? But instead of just saying Shohei pitches and Miguel Andujar doesn't, what I think the focus should be on is how they both match up statistically in their respective defensive position, okay? So, as we all know, Shohei Ohtani has been nothing short of amazing on the mound when he's been there, right? 9 starts, a 4-1 record, 3.1 ERA. 61 strikeouts in 49 innings of work also. Not a big deal, right? No matter how you slice it up, the dude's been sweet on the mound. So, well, and we're probably going to add a little bit to his resume there come later in the season. Now, let's look at Miguel Andujar defensively. So, like I said, he plays third base, and he has been pretty bad defensively this season. 14 errors, and every major defensive analytic you want to look at, it's been, like, negative for him. Like, for example, defensive runs saved, negative 23. That's not good. There's 20 third basemen in all of baseball right now that qualify defensively for statistics. Okay, at the third base position. Out of the 20, Miguel Andujar is 18th out of 20 in fielding percentage. In the AL, the only person worse than Miguel Andujar in fielding percentage is Rafael Devers. Come on. He's fourth in the entire league in errors made by third basemen. And he's tied for ninth in the entire league in all positions, period, in errors. So, I think you can say he's been pretty bad defensively. Actually, I'd say awful defensively. So, if we're going to compare these two baseball players to try to find a rookie of the year, how are you only going to talk about what they do with the bat? And I think everybody falls into the trap of like, oh, and Shohei pitches and Andujar doesn't. Yeah, but Andujar also plays the field and not well. So I think you have to look at it like what they both do with the bat. We can offset that. But what they do in the field, what they do at their position has been bad, ultimately. Because their batting statistics are close. And Shohei qualifies for all the statistics. So that's why I don't like people being like, well, he's played. Like, yeah, he's played less time. Yeah, he missed because of injury. Duh. Like, that happens, right? But a lot of his stats are better than Andujar still. And he qualifies. Like, he qualifies for voting. So it doesn't matter. Like, that's why I don't understand that. But if the tiebreaker from the offensive statistics is their defensive abilities, yeah, Shohei by a mile. So when you're talking to your Yankee friends, bring that up. See what they say. Because I think a lot of people don't talk about Andujar with his glove. And I think it goes back to like the Gary Sanchez thing a couple years back. He still is awful behind the plate, by the way. But cool, he can swing it, but what else can he do? Is kind of the thing I look at. So, Shohei, he deserves a rookie of the year. Period. Point blank. Boom. And that's my reasoning. Because Miguel Andujar plays third base with a bare hand, essentially. But coming up next, we have the return of Trivia Thursday. We're coming back right after this. Welcome back to Trivia Thursday. We're back. This one is an interesting one. While I was looking for a little trivia tidbit to drop on you guys, I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. So, Mike Trout leads the team in stolen bases this year with 21. Not really surprising. The person with the second most stolen bases has 9 this year. Who is that person? Tweet it at me. Email it at me. Yell it at me. I don't know. I don't care. Whatever your answer is, I'd love to hear it. So, who is second on the Angels in stolen bases this season? Insane that the gap between Trout and this next person is that big of a difference, though. Insane. I hope you enjoyed yesterday's episode, though. Talking with Pat, it's always great hanging out with him. First time we were ever on this podcast together, which is awesome. Really like the conversation, though. Talking to little Mike Trout, I think we talked about some of the things that Angels fans don't like to talk about. We got a little, got into those dirty areas. And what I said, I'm totally honest about it. What the Nationals did with Bryce Harper, we need to learn from that. And if we know that Mike Trout's not coming back to the Angels, because I think if he doesn't sign an extension, I don't think he's coming back. Honestly. I don't think he's going to hit free agency and come back to the Angels. I don't think that's a thing. So, if he's going to hit free agency, trade him. Get some value out of him. Honestly. So, I hope it doesn't happen. Put it that way. Like, obviously, I love Mike Trout. I don't want him to go anywhere. But if he's gonna go somewhere, we should get something out of him. Like, you're a fool to not think that, I think. Like, especially if we're not a playoff contender. Like, I'm not saying, oh, if we're going to make the playoffs that year and have a run at a World Series title, no, then, yeah, keep him, obviously, duh, right? But if we're in the position we are right now, just like what the Nationals are in, yeah, you got to get rid of him. Because they're going to let Bryce Harper walk for nothing, for literally nothing. That, you can't let that happen. I mean, come on, just makes sense, right? I'll be back tomorrow. It is Friday, therefore, we will have our Friday mailbag. Tweet your questions at me, email them to me, DM them at me. Let me know what you guys think. I love the questions. They've been some great questions lately, too. But that's all I got for you guys today. My name is Lucas Sardo. You can find me at Lucas Sardo. Oh my gosh, let's try that one again. You can find me at LucasSardo13 on Twitter. Keep the comments coming. More importantly, be sure to follow our Twitter page at Locked On Angels for all the updates regarding the show. You can also visit our website. It is LockedOnAngels.com. And if you have any questions or comments or concerns, and you don't have a Twitter, you can shoot us an email at LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. That's all I got for you guys today. Go Halos. Adios.